All nature automatically worships the Creator, but we are different. We're given the choice to serve God or not. The Lord knew that forced love is not really love at all. He desires something more meaningful. The thought of knowing that anywhere I am, whether it's in the middle of kneeling down on my bed comforter full of dog hair, or these beautiful cushioned purple stairs at the altar, I can kneel at the feet of our King anytime. That's powerful. He is right here, a miracle among the mundane. It reminds me of Mary giving birth in the stable in Bethlehem. There was nothing special about that stable. In fact, it probably wasn't as decent as our modern day stables or structures. The building was not the special part. It was Jesus that made it special. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2:7. Many times we think that the circumstances and the atmosphere, it all needs to be perfect or close to it in order for God to meet with us. But that is not biblically true. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, it was anything but that. He could have came as a majestic king dressed in fine linens, manifested behind castle walls, and spent his entire time on earth on a throne made of gold. And I feel like all of us probably would have chosen that for ourselves if we were God. He didn't do that, though. But that's what the Jewish people had expected, right? If he would have just acted like a real king, maybe there wouldn't have been an issue. That was their thinking. How can you claim to be the king if you aren't even willing to use your so-called power to save yourself? They said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. But if he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. When we do not surrender our will to God, we speak the same way. If he be the king, he'll give me more money. If he be the king, he'll do what I say. If he be the king, he'll even answer all my prayers. If he'll be the king, he'll make my life comfortable. If he really is the king, he'll get up and do something about my situation. If Jesus is really the king, he will meet my demands so that he can earn my belief. When they spoke those words, they did not understand that their idea of a king did not align with God's purpose. Jesus wants to be known, but how can you know somebody from a distance? It's very difficult. And the heart of God is to never be far away from our reach. So the Lord came in a way so that anyone could have access to him. They could talk with him and walk with him and be with him. They can know him. Think about it. And exhausted, Mary and Joseph saw the king of the world through the not so glamorous process of childbirth. Why would he choose that? All the moms, we just had Mother's Day. It's beautiful. We don't like every single part of how that happened. We like the baby. But Mary and Joseph probably had dingy hay under their feet, sweat beads across their foreheads. They didn't have a crowd to cheer them on. Maybe they had a little huff from a curious animal nearby. The grime of travel still on their skin. They had come very far. The absence of a sterile hospital where nurses are swarming the room every hour to check vitals. There were no beeping monitors tracking the health of baby Jesus. In the dark of the night, without the intervention of comfort, King Jesus came, and he still arrives that way to us today. So we need to please stop waiting for a miracle in order to believe that God is for you and loves you. The miracle already happened, amen? God did everything he needed to do to save us, and now it's up to us to yield to that plan of salvation, not to craft our own, and not to follow what we want to do. And we like to think that we are above the Pharisees that put him on the cross so many years ago, and yet here we are, sometimes every day, making these demands as if we see the bigger picture. But you see, they did not. They did not know when Jesus said after they destroy this temple, and in 3 days he will raise it up, that he was referring to his body and resurrection. They didn't know that his love went beyond that moment into the future. They didn't know that Jesus was indeed king, but humbled himself so that their children, and now us, each have an opportunity to be saved. They didn't know, but they should have. They should have, because he spent his entire life on earth trying to prepare them. But they didn't listen. It's not that he couldn't save himself. He could. But saving himself from the cross would require forfeiting salvation for all of them, all of us. Jesus did not save himself from the cross because he knew the bigger picture, and he knew that death could not hold him. And he knew that after 3 days, he would be raised to life again. The mission was never to escape death. It was to face it and to conquer it. And only the true King of Kings could do that. If he be the king. What they fail to understand, and what we must do better, is to make Jesus our king now. There can never be an if. If God really is good, if God really is holy, if God really loves me, if God really is in control, there's no if. Every time we say if before we acknowledge God, we put him back on the cross in our own mind, in our own thinking. No, God is good. God is holy. God is love. God is in control. There is no if. He is. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6:32-34. We're living in a world where people want to be their own gods and dictate how their lives would go and how their futures will be. People want to be their own king, their own savior. And we have allowed our flesh to be in control and to tell us what to do. And I understand why. I understand why they feel that way, because I used to feel that way, and sometimes I have to confront that old lie every now and again. We could be blinded by goals and ambitions, and they might even be very good things. But if we don't get off the throne and make Jesus our king every time we wake up, we risk losing our footing towards the path on the way to heaven. If he be the king, then we must make him the king of us every single day. With every choice that we make, we are either one step closer to hell and one step closer to heaven. And I don't want to say that, but it's true. And I don't know about you, but this world is hell enough for me. I don't need any more, Lord. I want to spend eternity in peace with King Jesus. In his kingdom, where there's no more pain, we'll never cry again. We won't have to pray for healing. Our bodies will be healed. We'd have new bodies, praise God. In his kingdom, other people's choices won't infringe on our freedoms. The mistakes of our family or our friends or even the people around us don't break our hearts anymore. We are truly free and with Jesus forever. His kingdom is where I want to go. So this is our challenge as flesh. We are told to deny ourselves in the word, but we are going to be tempted to feed that flesh as if it is worth the worship. But my friends, only Jesus is worth the worship. And right now there's something that you and I, that all of us are dealing with, something that comes to our mind that maybe it's a thorn in our side and it's been far too long. Or maybe that thorn is a real person. but it's because you truly want to be heaven bound if you're actually listening to this. And maybe somebody else put that thorn in your side. Maybe it wasn't even your choice. But Jesus never forgot his earthly purpose when he became a man. And it was to redeem his people and reconcile us back to him through his sacrifice on the cross, to reverse the curse of sin and death for good. And even when he was praying in the garden before the crucifixion, Jesus made the choice to honor his purpose and fulfill what he had come to do. Isn't that the heart of a true king? John 19, 1 through 4. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." We're going to jump down to verses 19 through 22. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title, when read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest to the Jews, to Pilate, "Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." He said what he said. He said what he said because of his belief in the end. Pilate knew. What you believe about Jesus is going to spill out in your speech. If he is the king of your life, there won't be an if. But if your words will bring him glory and honor, then you know that he's the king of your life. You'll gladly speak of his truth no matter who is around. You want to be stronger in your belief with God, then you need to learn about who he is and to change your language. Jesus is king. There is no if. I know I'm sick, but my God is a healer. I know my bank account is empty, but my God is a provider. Family members are attacking my character, but my king knows my heart, and he is my protector. This job is weighing me down. This people don't understand, and they're crazy who I work with. They're challenging me, but my king brings me peace. Those who struggle with unbelief, their words will be filled with negativity and doubt. We see it every day. And we actually see it play out in this story while Jesus hung on the cross in between two criminals. Luke 23, 35 through 43. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors, criminals, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked the other criminal, not Jesus, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This isn't your kingdom. Your kingdom is greater. Remember me when you enter into that kingdom. How can a thief have more faith than a Jewish leader? How can a dying criminal have more faith than God's chosen people? In that moment, this criminal expressed his belief by calling Jesus Lord. He did not say, "If you are Lord." He said it as a statement, as a fact. While the other one mimicked the attitudes of those mocking Jesus on the cross, he did not. Right there on his own cross, witnessing all that had unfolded, he made Jesus the king of his heart. There's a well-known preacher, the late Chuck Smith, that once said, "He doesn't force his lordship on anyone. He only comes by invitation as you acknowledge him as Lord and King. And I do enjoy reading commentaries. I try and be careful because not all of them are great, but Matthew Henry came through again for me in this one, and it was so insightful. And this is what he said about this passage. If he, as the Christ, would deliver our nation from the Romans, and they could not form any other idea than that of the Messiah, let him deliver himself from the Romans that have him now in their hands. Thus the Jewish rulers jeered him as subdued by the Romans instead of subduing them. The Roman soldiers jeered him as the king of the Jews, a people good enough for such a prince and a prince good enough for such a people. They mocked him. They made sport of him and made a jest of his sufferings. And when they were drinking sharp, sour wine themselves, such as was generally allotted them, they triumphantly asked him if he would pledge them or drink with them. And they said, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. For as the Jews prosecuted him under the notion of a pretended Messiah, so the Romans under the notion of a pretended king. That the superscription over his head setting forth his crime was, this is the king of the Jews. He is put to death for pretending to be the king of the Jews. So they meant it. But God intended it to be a declaration of what he really was. Notwithstanding his present disgrace, he is the king of the Jews, the king of the church, and the cross is the way to his crown. So what makes a king? We have a different definition than the Lord does. He didn't come to be their king to save them only from the Romans on the earth. He came to do more than that. Their expectations were too small. His purpose was and is always bigger than ours. It's almost like they said, take him, crucify him. He's not the king we thought he'd be. I have no need for this Messiah who still allows us to stay under the rule of Rome. We're still under Caesar, so take him. He's no good to us. With Caesar, at least we know the cost that we have to have him in control. But you, your price is too high. And how do we know if you're really the Messiah, the King of the Jews? Prove to me. Prove to me in the natural that you are the king. Show me. Let me see something right in front of my eyes. Show me that you are really the king, if he be the king. So tonight, I really want us to ask the question, is he the king of us, of our own little world, of our homes, our family, job? Have we allowed him to reign as the king of us, over our thoughts, dreams, plans, everyday moment? Is he the king offline, online? Is he the king when we are with our parents or with our friends? If Jesus is not your king, then the question is, who is? Who is the master over your life? Is it you or somebody else? I am coming to a close, so if you please stand. I want to end by reading Isaiah 43, 10 through 15. God has already defined himself for us. Thank you, Jesus. And by his grace, he has shared that definition through his word. Aren't you grateful that we have that tonight? So that we may know him and make him our king, the king of us. And he says this, Isaiah 43, 10 through 15. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and have saved, and have shewed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. Why don't we lift up our hands right now and give the King of Kings our praise? Let us thank the Lord for revealing his lordship to us, and let us repent and ask him for forgiveness if there is any unbelief within us. Oh, Jesus, please be the King of us, God. Search our hearts, Lord Jesus, and search our minds. We want to please you, and we want to be a people that pleases you, God. God, this world is only satisfied with themselves. Let us be different. Let your church be different. Let us be set apart the way of you called us to be set apart, God. Help us to lift you up in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own homes, God, where it really matters. When we pray, help us, Lord Jesus, to approach you like the royalty you are. You are the true King of Kings. You are the King of the Jews. You are the King of the Gentiles. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We honor you tonight. Let us worship you because you are worthy. Only you are worthy. We thank you for being our King. And we bless your name tonight. Let's worship a little bit together.